It is Wednesday, November 8, 2017. This is the Tuanas KBC Radio.com. Dear listener, if we want to reduce the entire existence in only one word, it will be love. Love is the cornerstone to build any healthy community, whether a small family or a great country. So our dialogue today will focus on the language of love and how it should be the language which unites us, no matter how different our languages are. So our guest today is one of those who devoted their lives to the service of language of love, Father Daniel Mleka. Welcome, Father Daniel. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Hazrat, for having us, having me here, and I'm very happy to be here.
Okay. First, I want to know something about yourself, please.
So I was born and raised in New York, Staten Island, New York. My parents are from Egypt. They grew up there. They moved to the States around 1980, and I lived in New York from up until about 4 years ago. I moved here in May of 2013, and I've lived in Los Angeles ever since. I got engaged, I got married, and now I'm a priest here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, great. You said you were born here and your family from Egypt.
Yes.
That means you are second generation immigration?
Yes. So I was born here, but my parents are from Egypt. So I'm first generation living here from my family's side. I'm the oldest out of all my cousins. I have a younger brother, also born in New York. And so as far as the language is concerned, my parents speak obviously Arabic and English. They've been in America for over 35 years. But I picked up the Arabic, just the words from them. But just only the language, just there's always a barrier. I only speak I speak a little bit of Arabic. But
Then you are Arabic second language.
Yes. Okay. Yes, okay. I'm Arabic great. Second language.
Great. Why did you choose to be a Coptic Orthodox priest?
So when I was younger, I grew up, my parents brought me up into the church. I grew up attending the church, learning about the church, all different aspects of the church. And then when I was around high school age, I started having certain questions about life, what the purpose of life is, what is heaven, who is God, all of these questions. And then I did some research as I entered college. And finally, I decided that my faith was really, Christianity made the most sense to me. And I lived my life as a Christian ever since. I devoted my life to Christianity ever since. After I got engaged, married, and I moved here to Los Angeles, the funny thing is, no one in the Coptic Orthodox faith, no one chooses to become a priest. It's a calling from God. So God speaks through certain people, certain leaders, the bishop, different priests, and you get nominated, and it's up to you to make the choice. But I felt like God already had made the choice for me, so it was easy from there.
Oh, great. Okay. We talked today about language of love.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone has a special definition to the love. How do you define love?
Love is one of those terms. You're right. Everybody has a different definition of love. When I think of love, I think of service. Like service coming from the heart. So, for example, I don't think love can only be talked about. I feel like love has to be shown. So, for example, if you know somebody who's going through something, telling them that you love them is not always just enough. You need to show them that you love them, spending time with them, helping them, bringing them things, taking care of them in whatever they need. So to me, love is an action. Love always requires an action. In Christianity, we see that God is love, And that not just that, we see that he didn't just go around telling people that he loves them, but he showed them his love by taking care of them, by providing for them in every way possible.
Yeah. For the language of love, I know philosopher Socrates said, speak so I can see you. How does the language show the background of any person or personality?
That's a very interesting quote. As I said before, my background, being from Egyptian parents, language was a big deal in our home. They spoke in Arabic. They over time learned English. For them, English was a second language. And for me, I learned English, but I learned Arabic from them and from my grandparents and all the people around me in the church and stuff like that. So there was always language barrier sometimes in certain aspects, certain things, and even within the church because of the different communities that we're serving. People who are just coming from Egypt, people that grew up here. But the one language that has no barrier is love. And in Socrates' quote here, it shows us that you can really tell who a person is by how they act and how they speak and how they live their life, not just from the way they look. Because you can see somebody, right? You can see somebody and you can see, you might make there's a common saying that says, don't judge a book by its cover. Because you look at a book, if you just look at the cover, you don't know what's on the inside. So the speaking allows the person to see how you think, what your lifestyle looks like, how you act. So it's very important for a person to reveal themselves through their actions, through their words.
Yeah. About language, how language can affect the community, whether hating language or love language?
That's a very interesting question. Whenever we want to unite people, you mentioned that in the introduction about uniting the community, uniting the country. Any type of uniting, there has to be a common factor. There has to be a common goal between the people. There's a common denomination, a common area. In this case, we're talking about common language. Sometimes in a place, there might be multiple languages. Like, for example, Los Angeles, there's multiple languages. Or New York or any of these metropolitan cities, they have many languages. Or in a certain community, there's different languages. But instead of having the language cause a barrier, our goal is to all unite in a common language. And this common language is love. Sadly, we sometimes unite the other way. We tend to go towards language of hate. And we see that all over the news, all these disasters, all the things that are happening, where people react negatively. And when somebody reacts negatively, somebody else reacts negatively to that. And then we just start yelling or we start, we get very emotional in a negative way towards certain people, towards certain groups, towards certain things. But what we have to do is always go back to the common factor that love rules all, that love has an ability to break down barriers. Love has an ability to unite. Love has an ability to connect people.
Yeah.
Regardless of their age, their background, their language, their culture, love never fails. Like it says in the Bible, love is stronger than anything.
Yeah, so it could be like a cornerstone for any.
Exactly, love is the foundation where anything is built. You look at a family. If a family, if there's no love between the parents, you'll notice that the children are affected. The house is not a safe environment. But if there's love, anything can happen. Love provides this ability to go further in life, to continue to grow, even within the church, even within any community, any business, anything, if there's no love between the leaders, there's always a problem.
This takes me to another question. I don't prepare to it.
Sure.
There is a real love and fake love. Is there something like that?
Yes. many people, I've heard that question before. Real love versus fake love. Fake love is you can put an image that you care. But true love requires sacrifice. True love requires you to step outside of yourself, to sacrifice for others. We see Christ says there is no greater love than one to die for his friends. Why did Christ say that? Because he showed us himself on the cross when he died for people. He died in order to save people. We learn that even if you think about relationships, you always have to do more for the person. You give up your time, you give up, you know, your money, your effort in order to pick the person up. That is true love. Fake love is when you're just putting on, it's kind of like putting on a costume or an image in order to show that you care or to show that you love just by words. But when it comes down to the action, there's no action. It's empty.
Yeah. The Holy Gospel says, your language shows you. What does this mean?
This is similar to the Socrates point. The Gospel teaches us that we should always be examples and be a light towards the world. And our light is shown how? Think of any type of light. There's always a source in the back. There's always electricity. If I bring up a lamp here and just put it here, there's going to be no power. In order for this lamp to have light, I need to connect it to a plug and to do that. We are the same way. We are this lamp, empty lamp, and we have to connect ourselves to the outlet and the power source, which is God. And our goal is to show this light. So when we say our language shows us, our language is a language of love. We are defined by our actions. So if I'm helping people, that automatically defines who I am. People will know this person. There's something off about him. He's helping these people. Why does he care so much about these people? They might, so we have to think about why. We start asking questions. But the goal is to always remember that why we're doing something is because it was done to us first. God sacrificed for us. God loved us. And that's why we not only love him, but love others. And we help out as much as we can.
Yeah. The language of love is something we miss a lot these days. So how we can spread this language over all the area?
Excellent question. Excellent question. I think one of the important things we have to look at and we have to do, we cannot tell people to spread love if we're not spreading love. It starts from one person. It starts from one person. Think of like a domino. There's a domino effect in love. If you've heard of course, everybody's heard of Mother Teresa. Yeah. Mother Teresa, when she went out and she served the poorest of the poor, she didn't just tell people to serve the poor. She went in and she went on her knees and washed people's feet and helped people and fed people and took care of people and brought doctors and all this stuff. Her actions led others to love, led others to serve. She started a chain reaction. By her just starting, everybody else also joined in. In order for the love to spread in the world, it starts with me. If I love somebody and I teach them what love is just by my actions, they will love also. And that will cause kind of like a fire around. So it one lights the other. There's no control. Because once love cannot, love has no boundaries. Like we said earlier, love has no boundaries in culture. Love has no boundaries in location. Love has no boundaries with different faiths, different communities, different whatever. But the key thing has to be love. We have to show that. And once we start, that's how it gets spread.
Yeah. Then we should begin with ourselves.
Absolutely. We have to start within ourselves. We have to make love a priority in my life. And once I do that and I show, if I'm doing it the right way, people will notice and people will... It's contagious. Love is contagious.
Yeah. There's two words I'm thinking about the relation between it. Love and leave. Is there any relationship between them?
Well, if you love somebody, they won't leave. No, but there's no relationship in the word to love and... you're saying about love and life, like living?
No, love and leave. If I love you, uh-huh. I leave anything for you.
Oh, that's...
That's what I mean.
Oh, that's a very good point. Like I said before, love requires sacrifice.
Yeah.
If I have a sandwich right in front of me, right? Yeah. And you're hungry, I can't just show love by saying, oh, God loves you or I love you, you know, whatever. I have to give you my sandwich. I have to sacrifice from what I have. So in order to show love, there's got to be an action. There has to be a sacrifice. There has to be me leaving what I have, giving to that.
So love and leave.
Yes, yeah. it's connected, yes.
Yeah, in the Bible also, there is says, God is love.
Mm-hmm.
Does not this enough to... to persuade the non-believers to know that there is a God or creator who loves them and care of them?
One of the key verses in all of the Bible is John 3:16. He says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him may never perish and live an everlasting life." This is the core of the Christian faith, that God is love and God loved the world so much that he sent his Son, that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. The key here is that, again, we see the sacrifice. God loves and he sent his Son, Jesus Christ. But not just that, in that he loved the world, that God didn't just love a certain group of people. God, when he created man, he created man in his image and likeness, and he created in order for the whole world to connect with him, to unite with him, to fall in love with him. That was the goal. So, and for us to be in communion with him and be united with him. So the goal is that we reach that point. What we have to always look at, if God is love, there is no way for me to love without connecting to God. True love is looking at God as the source of love. If I'm giving somebody a sandwich, I have to think about it in, you know, that God has provided me this food. And God would want me to give to this person. Why? Because God loves this person as well. Yeah. Not just, and it doesn't matter the what faith that person is. But what we have to realize, that God is love, is a core value that should teach everybody, whether they believe in God or not, that this idea that there is a higher being that loves us, whether we know him or not. Kind of like when, you know, in certain cases, maybe a parent or a child grows up without knowing his father at all. He never met him. He doesn't know him. Does this person have a father? Yes, of course. He has to. So he has a father. The goal of this person is to grow up looking and searching for his father, because ultimately, I mean, in maybe not every situation, but in Christianity, the Father loves. And that's who he is. That's when we say God is love, that's a part of who he is as a that's part of his nature. We cannot say God cannot love, because God is love, you know. Mm-hmm. So this teaches us that there's more to life that we should be seeking. And it's always nice to go on a little journey to find out who God is, if God really exists, if I have any, you know, start asking questions in order to take me to the next step.
It's the same like what you did. You mentioned that you make a research when you was yes. in high school.
Yeah, I didn't want to just be Christian just because my parents were Christian. So I actually did some research in different faiths. I looked into Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, and even atheism. And I studied for a few months. And I asked people, I did surveys with people and asked people, hey, you know, can you tell me who do you believe in and why you believe in? And I'd ask different people and basically just took the information and prayed to God. I said, God, whoever you are, show me who you are so I can dedicate my life to you.
Yeah. Then related to what you say, I believe that you said that we show the love that we got from God.
It's exactly.
The same like sun and moon.
Mm-hmm.
And we just reflect the light. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. It's really a symbol of reflection. We are reflecting who God is. So in the quote from the Bible and the Socrates quote, it shows us we should be able to be, we're in examples. St. Paul says we are an epistle walking around. So people should look at me. People should look at you. People should look at and see God inside of them. And if they don't, that's our fault. We have to do a better job in reflecting God's love.
Yeah. I know that you are interested in serving youth spiritually and socially.
Mm-hmm.
So I need some tips for our listeners.
For me, service has changed my life, especially youth service. I think one of the things in society now, our youth are struggling with lack of love from all over, lack of care, and there's so much negativity in the world. What I try to do is get to know the youth, spend quality time with them, and then give them an outlet for them to speak about their problems, about any issues, and connect them to the real source, who is God. Because it's at the end of the day, it's God who can change our lives. And as I work on my relationship with God, my unity with God, my goal is to just connect two people to so that they can experience God as well.
Yeah. It's very hard to end this joyful speech, but finally I would like to thank you very much, Father Daniel, for the words of grace that we enjoyed a lot.
Thank you so much, Azat, and I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Our dear listener, with a promise to meet you next Wednesday, thank you all. This is at oneness, kbcradio.com.